Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. McDougal was sentenced this afternoon by Judge Sheila DiTullio on the two counts for which he pled guilty. He was sentenced to 1 1/3 to 4 years in state prison on the one count and 1 to 3 years on the second count. I'll be specific. So Mr. McDougal pled guilty to grand larceny in the second degree and filing a false instrument or offering a false instrument for filing in the which is an e-felony. On the grand larceny, which is stealing approximately $320,000, he got 1 to 3 years in state prison. And then on the offering a false instrument for filing, he got 1 1/3 to 4 years. Now those sentences will run concurrent, so he will be eligible for parole at 1 1/3 years. He was taken into custody this afternoon, and he will be serving out his sentence in a facility in New York, one of New York State's prisons. He stole $320,000 between April of 2019 and June of 2023, so just over 4 years, while he was a mid-level employee for the Erie County Clerk's Office. And, you know, I will say this was an extremely difficult sentencing. And I think if you were in court, you probably would agree with that. The, you know, Gary's been doing this a long time in my office, and you know, he indicated this was a very emotional sentencing for this family. This is a sad case. You know, obviously, what Mr. McDougal did was very disruptive to the operations of the Erie County Clerk's Office. He stole $320,000 from taxpayers in New York, and that money has not been repaid. He also failed to report that income, which may sound like an odd concept, but not paying taxes on that $320,000 that he stole is the crime for which he pled guilty, that e-felony. And that's just under $12,000 that he failed to report and failed to pay taxes on. So the I say this is a difficult case because, you know, Mr. McDougal is someone who, you know, has a very difficult, you know, family situation. I know his wife and his daughter, you know, have some, there are some particular needs. It's not like that he was stealing this money, you know, to live some lavish lifestyle. But at the end of the day, he stole $320,000 from the taxpayers of this county. And, you know, that's unacceptable. And on top of that, when he was caught, you know, the subsequent investigations, or I should say he was caught because of the investigation that was started by the Erie County Comptroller's Office, which is great work on their part. They uncovered this theft, and then that resulted in a further investigation and audit, not only by their office, then joined by the New York State Comptroller's Office, and then the Erie County Sheriff's Department, and then our office. And the number of man hours and women hours that went into investigating this case is, you know, very, very significant. So, you know, these crimes are very disruptive, you know, to a number of different public servants, you know, in various departments, as I mentioned. So it's serious. And while I have, you know, empathy for Mr. McDougal. We think that the sentence was appropriate. He's going to state prison. I don't want to be, dismissive of either end of the spectrum here. Look, on the one hand, he stole over $320,000. That's a significant crime, and that hopefully he signed a confession of judgment, and hopefully the county taxpayers will be reimbursed that money. I know that there's an insurance policy, Gary, that covered that, and I think that may have come out in the proceedings, but he's still on the hook for that $320,000. But on the other hand, this is a devastating crime, not only for the taxpayers, but for this man and his family. And now he's going to state prison. So the case is resolved. We think it was resolved justly. I think we were consistent with, the victims in this case, not just the county taxpayers, but the county clerk's office. And I, want to say one more time, I've said this before, but the cooperation that we got from the Erie County Clerk's office and the cooperation that they showed to the Erie County Sheriff's Department during the course of this investigation is commendable. As I said, I know this was very, very disruptive to the clerk's office and their department, and I commend them for cooperating right from the very beginning to the fullest extent and helping us to bring this to this conclusion today. So happy to take any questions if you have any.
Attorney, can you clarify how the restitution will shake out in this case?
So, as I indicated, there's some insurance. It's already reimburse the county, but there's a confession of judgment, okay, that he signed as part of the plea deal for the full amount, that $320,000. So, when he gets out of state prison, if he's able to make restitution, and these are very difficult situations. Oftentimes the victims of these crimes do not have insurance that covers these crimes, and usually they're just out of pocket. I've had a number of these cases over the last several months even that where they don't get any restitution. But hopefully he'll be able to, get when he gets out of prison and he's reemployed, he'll be able to make some restitution as he moves forward.
And that's for the full $320,000?
That's the amount, yes.
Can you kind of also talk about the public trust aspect of this? Judge Tullio spoke a lot about today, obviously, the, empathy that you have on one hand, but also this is somebody who the public trust.
Yeah, I think Judge DiTullio, I understand. She put it right. She said public, public service equals public trust. We're the public entrusts all of us, especially those of us at, in the elected positions like the county clerk. When we hire people that work in these mid-level positions like Mr. McDougal was, to keep that trust. And, you have to put people in charge of especially in the clerk's office, of money like this. And at the end of the day, he was the person responsible for reconciling the receipts that were coming in, the cash and the checks that would come in from the public. And you want to have checks and balances, of course, to keep people from stealing. But at the end of the day, if people are willing to violate the public trust and steal, oftentimes they're going to be able to get away with it. So, it's offensive. And you're right, there's a balance here. On the one hand, I feel for Mr. McDougal and his family, but on the other hand, he committed a serious crime. We prosecuted him to the fullest extent of the law, it's important that I point that out, I think, because oftentimes the public doesn't understand. We did not give him a reduced plea. He pled to the highest provable counts that we had, the grand larceny in the second degree and the offering a false instrument. Those counts, if we had put this case in front of a grand jury, and we had asked a grand jury to return an indictment, those would have been the two highest counts. And then after a trial, that's what he would have, if we were able to prove it, of course, that's what he would have been able to, he would have been proven guilty of. Now, I point that out because it's not always clear when someone pleads guilty the way he did. And I should also, mention that, he stepped up. When this case was being investigated, he stepped up, he accepted responsibility, he admitted what he had done, and he came into court today, and he accepted his sentence, and he should be given some credit for that.
Can you talk a little bit more about the charge of filing a false instrument? If you could maybe break that down in layman's terms exactly, because that actually carried a higher sentence than the grand larceny.
Yeah, it did. At the end of the day, that's how the judge sentenced him. But she could have sentenced him on the C felony, the grand larceny. She could have sentenced him for a max of up to 15 years, 5 to 15 years. Essentially, what the judge did was she gave him the minimum on both sentences and ran it concurrent. So the proof involved in the offering a false instrument for filing is his tax return. He didn't report that $320,000 as income over the years when he was stealing it. And as I indicated, I know that sounds a little odd. You're stealing money. Of course, you're not going to be reporting it to the State Department of Taxation and Finance and report that as income. But that's the nature of the charge.
I realize it's not your purview and you can't speak for the U.S. Attorney's Office or the IRS, but do you think or are you able to say if your office is cooperating with the federal agencies also to possibly prosecute?
You know what? It's my understanding. I'll let Gary answer the question, but it's my understanding that is not being pursued. But go ahead, Gary.
That's something that's usually left up to the IRS and the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Got it. Figured that. I just
wanted
to see.
Anything else?
I guess you accepted it, obviously, with the judge, obviously, again, makes the ultimate decision, but originally this could have been 15 years maximum. You're comfortable then with the one and a third, roughly?
Yes, I think it's a just sentence. We asked for a state prison sentence, which means more than 1 year. So, and I think our position was consistent with what the county clerk's office asked for. I personally spoke to the county clerk, asked him what his position was going to be, and I know that this is consistent with what they had requested.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.